It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Richard Fordyce, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, Katie Dellinger, Editor-in-Chief, DTM Progressive Farmer.
It's coming in not far off of that trend line estimate that we've been using most of the summer to sort of estimate that corn crop number. We're coming in a little bit higher on soybeans, and I think a lot of that is just some of the wetness in this August period. The bean crop tends to really like that. I think conditions have been really variable across the Corn Belt. You look at this El Nino weather pattern and how it's kind of hit and miss, and some places were dry to start and some places were wet to start. And we've got a lot of variety in the crop conditions out there this year. And I think that reflects in sort of this really good, but not a bin buster and not a record national corn yield estimate.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Richard Fordyce. He's Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA. And again, we're talking about something big coming out of USDA. What can you tell us is happening today?
Well, Tony, I think a couple of things. One is we are announcing today that we are extending the sign-up for the Supplemental Disaster Relief Program. We refer to it as SDRP, and, the sign-up for that program has been open for quite a while, and the reason that we're extending the sign-up deadline is we had two different stages of SDRP, and, I think you and I've talked about this probably three or four times over the course of several months. But, the first stage was for folks that had crop insurance, and basically the SDRP stage one was an ability to kind of top up that indemnity that they got through their crop insurance programs and products that they had purchased. The second one was SDRP2, and that was targeted more to folks that were underinsured or not insured, and not that they chose not to purchase crop insurance. It was that likely the crops that they grew and the parts of the country they were in, that product was not available. But there was a third component to SDRP that talked about quality loss. And, anytime that we deal with a program and quality loss is a part of it, sometimes it just takes us a little bit to kind of get kind of our hands around what that issue is, all the crops, and really the varying ways that we can take documentation, the way that we can view a quality loss specific to SDRP. And so that's the main motivation for extending this out to September 30th of 2026. That's the announcement today that we are extending that sign up. And so, again, it's basically related to the producers that have had quality loss. And, Tony, I would say that, if you're a producer, you're hearing this, and you went into the FSA office, some months ago or whatnot, talked about quality loss, I would encourage you to go back because, again, we've looked at our policies. We've kind of updated our policies related to the documentation that we'll accept related to that quality loss. And so that's the big announcement out of SDRP. Again, we've been doing this so long that I think folks kind of forget that this was a congressionally created program that had $16 billion for quality, for yield and revenue losses, for the 2023 and 2024 crop years. And so again, SDRP is for 2023 and 2024. We've already paid out about $13.5 billion. So there's still dollars available in the program, for folks to go in and take advantage of. And I know, Tony, if I'm a farmer listening to this right now, I'm going to be asking myself, okay, so 2023, did I have quality loss in 2023? So, it may take a minute for folks to think about that, but certainly encourage you to think about 23 and 24 and if you did have a quality loss that you were discounted for.
Well, I'm glad you went there. So let's talk about the quality loss. And again, we're talking about 2023 and 2024. How do we prove that quality loss? Is that something that's, I mean, we've got some good benchmarks to do that?
Yeah. So, so I think when I kind of led in with my comment about it takes us sometimes a little bit of time to get our hands around what were the effects to quality loss. And it's going to vary by crop. You know, I am way more familiar with Title I crops. And so, you know, if I take a load of soybeans into the crusher and they're discolored or, you know, there's something wrong with them from a quality standpoint that's attributable to, you know, adverse weather, I'm going to get discounted right then. And so, you know, we have a paper trail for quality loss related to that specific load of soybeans. Very similarly with corn, and it's got, you know, it's maybe got vomitoxin or something, and I get discounted for that corn because of weather-related issues. I get discounted then. So those are pretty straightforward, and those are the ones that we understand pretty well. Where it gets a little tougher would be a lot of our specialty crops. Honestly, rice and the milling quality in rice is another one that we've had to kind of think about a little bit, because the rice producer took a truckload of rice to the mill. You know, the rice was graded, and that's what, you know, that's the documentation that the farmer has. But then they mill the rice. And we really need to be paying on milling quality, not necessarily the quality of the rough rice that came in to the mill. So it really, Tony, it really depends on the crop. And the ones probably the most challenging would be specialty crops. So let's say that the producer, when they planted that crop, when they reported those acres, that production was going to go into a fresh market. They had some weather event that really deteriorated the quality. And so instead of it going into the fresh market, it goes into the processed market, which is a much lower value. We can pay part of that difference between what was the anticipated value of that crop as fresh versus now the actual value of that crop that went in as processed. So it can get a little complicated. And that's why, again, that's why we have really kind of honed in on our policies, honed in on, you know, how we're going to deal with these quality losses, and just felt that it was only fair to extend that sign-up deadline out to September 30.
Okay. We've got a lot there to work our way through. The big one, though, is we're extending the deadline on this for SDRP to September 30th. Hey, thanks for taking the time to come and update us. Will you come back and see us soon?
I absolutely will, sir. You know that we so much appreciate your work and you know, the help that you give us in getting the word out. And Tony, anytime you want to chat, I will be there, sir.
Again, it's the Honorable Richard Fordyce, Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Well, we talk a lot about what yields might be like this year, and we look at USDA numbers. But What about DTN? Have you seen their digital yield tour? Katie Dellinger is editor-in-chief of DTN Progressive Farmer.
I have been leading this project since it started. We used to partner with a company called Grow Intelligence that is no longer in business. And I had, prior to that, had done countless crop tours. I think at one point I had figured between corn, soybeans, and wheat, I had done something like 13, 14 crop tours in my career. So actually getting out into the field, meeting people, seeing the crop, experiencing it is one of the favorite assignments I've ever had. And so when we come and we started doing this digitally, it's been a fascinating process to just see how it's grown, how it's changed, how we look at the numbers, and really where these numbers at this point in the year really mean something. I always remind people that it doesn't matter if it's the most accurate right now. The crop is still growing. The crop can still change. But with all of the data and the insights we have right now, this is what it's looking like. And it's looking like we all know something could radically change. We could have a major derecho that would knock down one of the I-state's numbers substantially. That's happened before. We've had it happen where, you know, there's disease issues that have come in and really hit the yield estimates, like southern rust last year in parts of Iowa really took the top off of that yield estimate. So things can change with the corn crop. These numbers are a point in time reflecting the conditions up until August 1st. I should note that that's when our yield models ran. So up until August 1st, this is where it's looking. And I think it's a better point of conversation and guidance. When you look at it, the markets are going to trade all of the news and all of the technicals that the markets trade. And this is just one more piece of information that helps get an idea of what's going on there. And if you want to read and learn more about this, we actually at DTN, we think it's important to pair these numbers with on the ground insights. So at DTNPF.com, you'll see all of our reporting that includes our boots on the ground reports from farmers that we talk to year in, year out. We think it's important to include their observations because farmers are really the experts. They know where it's variable, where it's been busting. They can tell us with more detail than any satellite what the problems are going to be. So one of the things in our reporting is really matching the numbers with the observations because that's what matters. And there's so much to this corn crop. And what's looking out your backyard is different than my backyard and different than what it might be up in Minnesota or Kentucky or Nebraska. So there's a lot of time yet in this crop. It's not finished. And we've got a lot more to see and do on this digital yield tour. We'll be releasing a few more state estimates this week. And then we'll be following up with these yield models as the season goes on.
That's Katie Dellinger, editor-in-chief of DTN Progressive Farmer. Online, DTNPF.com. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. U.S. honeybee colony numbers increasing this year, but heavy losses, widespread health stress continue to challenge commercial beekeepers. USDA's National Ag Statistics Service says operations with at least five colonies started the year with 2.81 million colonies, up 6% from a year earlier, but losses remained substantial during the first half. Beekeepers lost 16% of the colonies through March, another 11% during the second quarter, requiring aggressive replacement and rebuilding. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading in Chicago.
Pork cutout values are on the supportive side of the equation. They've shown some improvement, and that's obviously provided some support to the futures markets. That's a good thing. Better cutout movement suggests that maybe the end user demand may be absorbing some of the available supply out there, so that's a good thing for the market. More on the medium side of the equation. Export demand remains critical, so we still need to see, pretty consistent or if not improved export movement. That's going to help relieve some of the domestic supply pressure. And then the seasonal demand patterns are going to become important. You know, we're getting towards late summer. I hate to say it, but that late summer grilling demand and approaching fall buying patterns are going to be important for the pork demand. We'll see how things play out with that.
It's the Agribusiness Report.